Amen. God's good. Amen. Thank you. And Isaac, man, he's playing good on that guitar, bro. I'm telling you, solid. 1 John chapter 3. Hopefully you're enjoying this study in John. And tonight we're going to get into brotherly love. How many of us, we need love for one another? It's easy to love people who love us. But it's a little struggle when it doesn't go quite the right way we say amen.
Amen.
You can read between the lines there. And the truth is that your love will be tested. Ron and I were talking before service. There are sometimes it's easy and quick to get into the flesh. How many understand that? And after a spiritual time with God, it's easy to step over that area, and like, because the flesh is still around. I mean, is that something you need to crucify daily? But if you immerse yourself in the love of God, it changes your outlook. It also changes really what's inside. In 1 John chapter 3, we'll start verse 10. We'll look at a whole verse. We'll start with that. It says, I'm in the wrong place here. It says, and this is the children of God manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God, but whoever does, neither does he that love, I can't read this today, I'll get it out. Second part of the verse, whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he or she that does not love his brother. When we love God, it's the sum of doing all that is right. Did Jesus love us or not?
Yes.
God so loved what?
The world.
Now, you know it, you heard it, but was it demonstrated?
Yes.
I believe love has demonstration to it. It means, words mean something. There's no doubt about it. If you're with one another, you need to tell people you love one another. But it needs to go to another level too. Because love has maturity with it. Love is a fulfilling of the law. In John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, so that you love one another. And when I look at that love, I'm here to say, I got a lot of growing yet to love like Christ. I haven't arrived yet in this arena. Are you with me, church? When somebody says they're mature in Christ, the truth is that, what is your love walk like? Because you can have a whole lot of word in you, and we need that. But you also can get religious with it too. So love in that has to grow in that area. When I've noticed faith, if you don't have love coupled with faith, your faith is not growing. Faith comes by hearing, but it works by love. And the more you love people, the more that faith can be released in that area. I really believe that when miracles start to happen is because we really love people like we love our Lord. Because we want it for them so bad. We don't want to see them in that condition anymore. When the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion, think about it, when he saw people that were crippled and hurt and bruised, that he never designed man for that. And I can just see that him coming against that machinery of death. I'm going to speak to this area. I really believe we need to look at others that way too. When somebody has an infirmity, no, we're not going to stand for that. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord in this area. And I really want you to be anointed when you come to service, not when you just get to service. Amen? Be ready to pray for people. Be ready to lay hands on the sick. Miracles can happen in the car, in the hallway, in the sanctuary. I mean, that needs to be part of the area. Nowhere in Scripture does it say it has to be a certain time. When God's there, things happen. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 11, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. They knew the commands. It was given, I want you to love one another. Listen to me, it's not a suggestion either. The church shouldn't be just suggesting, hey, if you want to, hey, love one another. That would be a great idea. He's saying it's a command that you love one another. He's not trying to force our hand, but that's how this church should operate. It should operate in love because that's the command that God gave. And if the command is given by God, we need to obey it. The task at hand and the work to be done is to love one another. How many of you know that's a great task for the church? How many of you know that'll take a whole lot of stuff? When revival hits the land and it's going to come, offense will come also. We have to watch in those arenas and say, you know what? I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to walk in love. Because the enemy's going to try to bring in something that would snatch that or hinder that or work in that. Listen, if you're thick-skinned, you know what I found out? That after the initial blow of an insult, it gets better. I said it gets better. And if you can stand the onslaught, you know what? Boom, 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 boom. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen? How many of us, that's just what it's like. But if you don't have the armor on, man, those stings hurt deep. If you can be equipped with the armor of God, be equipped with the armor. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. Why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil, and his brother's was righteous. Now I'm going to stop here for a moment. When I looked at the story of Cain and Abel, how many knows that in the Old Testament? Cain slew Abel. And it seems like there was a random act that all of a sudden, that all here they're out in the field, and the Lord judges their offerings, and Cain gets upset with his brother, and he kills him. Well, I studied every Hebrew word containing this area of Cain. And you know what it comes up to? It comes up to Cain was evil inside as well as out. It wasn't just one act. That was the act that came forth that people saw. How many knows that if we don't turn our hearts totally over to the Lord, we can be in that same boat? Cain's action is opposite of love. Cain had a brother-killing spirit. How can it be that the same people come from the same family, have the same Lord, but two different diametrically opposed situations? We have to watch that even in our own hearts. Cain was without love. And in Genesis 4, verse 8, it says this, and Cain talked with his brother Abel, and it came to pass while they were in the field, Cain rose up and killed his brother. Now, if you follow the narrative of the story, Cain went about his normal business, and God pointed it out. Where is your brother? Isn't it amazing that he was going through his normal day? How many knows that's a pretty wicked heart? So it isn't just one act there. It's a lifestyle. Listen, you cannot bring forth good fruit from a bad tree. Your confession may be, but the truth is comes out of your life. What was in him was a murderous spirit. And he took it out on his brother. Because his brother was righteous. Say amen. Amen. How many knows that's still in the world today? Yes. We shouldn't marvel if the world hates us. It hated Jesus. It hated him without a cause. Amen? Look at verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, who murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's was righteous. Cain's whole manner of life was influenced by the evil one. It's just not a one-time act. It was a lifestyle and also an attitude. The words that describe Cain in the Hebrew are all bad. Every action was evil. And I'm looking at that saying, man, you came from the same mom and dad. They walked with the Lord before they sinned. And yet in one generation, a murderous spirit rose up. In our flesh dwells no good thing. And where would we be and what we're like without Christ is awful. If we think we're anything righteous, we're awful in that arena. The only thing good in you was Christ and him crucified. Amen? His inward nature was evil. Hallelujah. How many knows that the nature of Satan is that murderous spirit? Satan was a murderer from the beginning. In John 7, verse 7, if the world hates you, know that it hates me because I testify of its evil works. You know, just Christ being on the planet, there's that presence of holiness. And sometimes in your life, that presence of Christ may make somebody mad. Somebody may get upset at you without a cause. You may share a word and they go, ugh! Sometimes you got to look at that and say, you know what? Don't take offense to it. Look at that spirit that's behind it. Sometimes you got to be spiritually minded so you don't get caught up in it like it's against you. Everybody with me on that? How many know sometimes that's a lot to process in a very short time? In John 17, verse 14, I've given you the word, but the world hates you. I love this. It hated you because it's not of me and I'm not of the world. If the world hates you, guess what? It hated me. Why? Because I wasn't of this place. The world loves its own. That same spirit that's in operation. And there are times in our life that we've seen that enemy work in a whole group of people. It's like rises up. Can you imagine if the Holy Spirit is taken from this planet, what this planet instantly would be like? The only thing good on this planet is the Holy Ghost. And the only thing good in it is the people that love the Lord that have the Holy Spirit in them. That's the only thing that's withholding back those things. When we go into war week, we got to come against these principalities and powers. Yeah. Satan's just not going to lay down because we have a building on Newburgh. That's right. We have to take that power and work it. Amen? Yeah. But I believe this with all my heart. If we're locked in together and we're praying in the Spirit, we're asking the Lord, I believe I'll pray for something, you'll pray for something, and there'll be a union in that. Yeah. And if we get a whole church praying on that, boom, some things are going to happen. Yeah. We got to look and say, you know what? Somebody can get saved in the middle of the night. My sister did. My sister did. If it worked in her and she was a total unbeliever, God can do it anywhere else. Amen? Verse 13. Marvel not if the world hates you. Cain is a type of the world. John's expressing that if the world hates, that's what they're like. Amen? Collectively and individually, listen, they're going to hate you and you're going to have to endure some hate. I wish I say that your life was going to be rosy every day, but I'm here to say that's not reality. Anybody who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer some persecution. Now, I don't know the level that you'll have to, but somebody's not going to like what you said. Amen? I remember one time we came out of a prayer meeting, and we stopped at like a McDonald's. And all of a sudden, man, the people in line got so agitated. And you ever like done something like, what'd I do? Anybody ever done that? All you're doing is standing there. And I remember these people just getting so agitated. I'm like, man, there's just a spiritual moment right here in McDonald's. They don't even know what they're doing or what they're saying. Could you imagine Jesus preaching a sermon and then the people going, man, we're going to throw him off that cliff. Can you imagine that? In the house of God, the men of God saying, you know what? Let's toss him off this cliff. When Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and that's the deeds you do, he was calling it out. He was calling that sin nature out. That nature of Cain that's there. Amen? Verse 14. And we know that we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. It's a spiritual fact. It's an eternal fact. If you don't love the Lord and you love people, listen to me, that life is not in you. How can you say you love God and see your brother in need and hate that and hate him? It can't be. That natures are two opposites. When I look at Cain, he had that brother-killing spirit. We pass from death to life because we love the brethren. Our conduct shows that we have a relationship with God. Amen? It's what makes a difference. If you boil down all the charitable organizations that are given in the world, the Christians still give more than all of them combined. That's just a true fact. They give out of their hearts. And many times it doesn't go so much through all the you know, administrative things. Sometimes up to 90% goes towards administrative. Only 10% even makes it to the field. I mean, that's not much when you got a whole lot of needs. When I look at brotherly love proves our state of adoption. It shows a condition of a new heart in Christ. Notice that he that loves not abides in death. That's a powerful statement. Jesus said this, and I'm sorry, John said this, 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Death and not loving are connected to one another. When you're in hate, listen to me, death is there. When we love, there's life. Isn't that so cool? When there's death, there's hate collecting there. I see that so often. When Cain looked at his brother, he was walking and abiding in that. That's why Jesus said this to him in the Old Testament. If you do good and right, it'll be done. I'll deal with it. I'll change. But if not, sin abides right at the door, knocking to have dominion over you. And being unrepentive, you know what? He was unrepentive until God called him out. Now picture this. Could you imagine the Lord coming along? I'll just use Ron for instance. Ron, where's your brother? And he says, am I my brother's keeper? Can you imagine that? What if God came up to you and said, where's your brother? God knows what he is. He already knows the answer. And then you have the audacity to say, am I my brother's keeper? That you could look in the face of the Almighty and lie right to him. How many of you know that's scary? Yeah. It's only when God called him out, say, you have done something, your brother's blood cries out, is when he put his finger on it, that he finally recanted. But how many of you know that's a heart that's so divisive. Yeah. We need to repent, say amen. Amen. Today we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Where there's hatred, there is death. It follows along. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a what? And we know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Everyone hates his brother is truly a man killer. Calvin said this, hatred is not only the beginning or cause of a murder, but murder in the heart. To be a wish, a thought, or a purpose. Or only, let me read this to you. Only a passion which afflicts a brother's life, not thinking even about his death. When Cain slew Abel, it was already in function. He just acted it out. It was premeditated. He went out in the field when they were alone. Boom, he ends his brother's life. How many knows that premeditation is deep-seated in hearts? The heart is desperately wicked. Who could know? And sometimes innocent people get caught up in that. Man, I believe that, look, shouldn't Abel had a normal life? Shouldn't he be able to live and have children? Shouldn't he be able to have a normal functioning life? Yet somebody so close as your own family wipes him out. But here's what's so awesome about God, that he remembers Abel. His blood cries out. And thousands of years later, even John spoke about him. How many knows God has a plan? Even if man tries to thwart it, Abel is still rewarded. Hallelujah. His deeds were righteous. It shows a testimony. All of us in this room need to have a testimony that you're righteous. You were once in sin, but now you're righteous. When you look at it, Satan in John 8:44, you're of your father the devil, and whatever desires he do, that's what you do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't stand for the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie of his own resources, and he's the father of it. Now let me look at Adam and Eve. If you really boil it down, they lost their life in that garden. They were deceived, and death came in. So Satan is the author of that death. It wasn't God. Satan brought death to the first couple. And the manifestation, excuse me, happened in the first generation. Isn't that amazing? That the seed of Adam and Eve, there's a murder in the family. If we continue in sin, I want you to know that things pass on. It passes on. That's why when you get saved, you can break that cycle of death. But now you have to work that area. Sin has an area to be born. It grows, but when it finishes, it brings forth death. For Adam and Eve, listen to me. Satan became the murderer of them. What a sad day. Jesus said this, he's a murderer from the beginning. But I've come that you might have life. I'm the one who loves you. There's life in that love. Satan, the only thing he does is hates. He tries to confuse. He tries to come like an angel of light. But his whole motive is this. Because if you really look at the narrative between Abel and Cain, he brought his brother out. It was an innocent act for them to walk brother to brother in the field. That was an innocent act to do that. But the whole thing was deceptive. He had another mode in mind. That's how Satan is. Sometimes we need to detect what spirit they are of. Amen? And sometimes I'm not getting in that car. I'm not doing that. You need to have that. Sometimes when those red flags come up, hey, we're not doing that. I'm not doing it. Even if they get mad, no, it's just not right. Amen? How many of the Lord will work something in that area? Sometimes he'll wake you in a dream. Don't do that. He'll do everything you can. Because listen to me, the enemy lies and waits and deceives. He's looking to take advantage of those situations. And poor Abel, innocent, loving, and even loving his own brother, gets killed by him. Amen? Can a murderer change? Absolutely. Even the Apostle Paul in Acts 22, verse 20. It says, when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing outside consenting at his death, guarding the clothes who were killing him. Could he change? Absolutely. But it takes a nature change. When you get a nature change, you get a love infillment. You get love instowed in you. God so loved, I got the love of God now. It comes against that sinful nature. It comes against that brother-killing spirit. There's life in Christ. Satan has death. Amen? Is this good? Verse 16, by this we know, because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay our lives down for our brethren. This is how you know. He laid down his life. He didn't just speak it, he demonstrated it. When you hated me, I still loved you. Isn't that cool? I love that. He has love is known in Christ. Here is you'll know. Well, you'll know that also. The more you serve the Lord, the more you walk with him, the more selfishness is dealt with. It's like a continual slow process that the Holy Spirit works. I'm going to work on this area. If you'll allow me, I'll work in this area. Sometimes it's a quick thing that all of a sudden, boop, 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 a lot's got organized. And some things are like, oh, Lord, I need to change this. How many have been in a refining process for a while? You never notice when the heat gets hot, you're ready to be used? The dross comes up and he scrapes it off. But you know what? I've been in a refining fire more than once. After it's cool, there's still some imperfections in there. Oh, guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Poop! Oh, no. Heats you up again, amen? So more, so when you're fully tried, you'll come forth as gold. How many want to be that? Yes. It's like, I want to be what Christ wants me to be. We have an opportunity on planet Earth to be that. Amen. How many years? I don't know what we all have, but I do know that I want to be that. How many want to be that? Yes. And listen to me, our physical age is irrelevant what he can do spiritually. Right. Yes. What he can do in a moment could take many years something else. Follow that path. Well, you're here tonight because you care about your spiritual life. Amen. Sow that deep within. In John 15, verse 13, greater love than this, and one laid down his life for his friends. John 10, verse 11, I'm the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. I love that. Love imparts the very best. It gives the most precious goods. Because when you love somebody, you want them to have the best. Amen. My wife is like that. My wife is so unselfish that if there's a portion of food, she'll give me the best. If we're eating, she'll wait that I'm served first. Love imparts the very best. I mean, that's what I want to be, Lord. Let me have that. When it comes to people, they deserve our prayers. They need our prayers. Give them your very best, your most precious goods. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave the most precious gift he could offer. My own son. When you think about that great love, can you imagine people who deny that he was ever real? And all of a sudden the revelation comes, I gave you my son, and here's what you did with him. Away from me, Jesus. I don't want you. Give us Barabbas. Give us a murderer. Give us a thief. Say amen. You take the Christ and crucify him. In Ephesians 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also walked and gave himself for us, an offering, a sweet-smelling savor. When you offer that thing in love, you know what? It means all the difference in the world. Amen? How many of that should be our heart? Lord, teach us. When David said, I will not give the Lord something that doesn't cost me. He had that love for him. And you know what? David was well loaded at the end of his life. You can't outgive the Lord.
That's right.
Make sure you scatter the seed. Don't eat it all. Scatter your seed too. It will always come back. Always come back. Christ is the object of the Father's love. In John 10, verse 17, wherefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life, but I also take it up again. Jesus was our protector. He helps us when we're fallen, when we're wounded, when we're in danger, when we're perishing. He's there for us. He's our substitute. He's our hero. Listen, he's done everything for us and he will continue. He loves me. He loves you. You're his precious one. You're the apple of his eye. There is nothing he wouldn't do for you. Isn't that so cool? Oh, Lord, let that love change me. Let me see, Lord Jesus, that you even became sin for me who knew no sin. Is there anything greater than that? When we hated him, he loved us. He went after us. We're all indebted to the King, true? If he never answers one more of your prayers, he's answered enough already. But I know he'll do more. Amen? Look at verse 16. That we ought to lay down our life also. The act of a Christian love is this. That we spring into action for others. Now, if you can't meet the need, you can pray, Lord, help meet that need. Not every need you're able physically to meet. True? That's just a true fact. But Lord, give me the ability, Lord. If I can't, then Lord, I can find somebody else who can or partner in prayer to see it done. If anything, if nothing else, I can grab your hands and pray for you. There's something I can do. Amen? There's something I can do. There's something we all can do that if we look to lay down our lives. Christ's example must have a corresponding action and work. When Jesus came in, he never came in and said, hey, worship me, I'm the man. He was the man. He came in as a humble servant. He looked to serve people in any way he could. Notice Jesus, in the midst of a Roman rule, was so different than all that was going on. Tyranny was everywhere. Distress, pain, and all of a sudden, here's the Lamb of God stepping into a world. He was so different. He was a different teacher. He was a different leader. He was a different lover. He was totally different than the world has ever seen before. And he was going to take raw men and in a few years make them world changers. Isn't that so cool? Yeah. Where society could never make anyone a world changer, he's going to impart what he has and make world changers out of all of us. Yeah. This part has to be in us. If we don't get the love right, we're not going to get nothing right.
First
John 3:3, I'll back up for a minute. Everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself even as he is pure. We need to mold our lives after the pattern of Christ. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 17, whoever has this world goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, where does the love of God abide in him? I mean, that's what I appreciate about hugs and the food thing when visiting nursing home. Some folks aren't able to get out anymore. Some may not have something. Well, we don't have a lot, but what we have we give unto you. Free of charge, not even a thank you required. You never have to show up. You never have to be there. Hopefully you'll find a place. If you ever come, great, you're welcome. But it's not a prerequisite. We have some world goods, don't we?
Yes.
Then we need to make sure we distribute that what we can.
Amen?
Amen? Now, I know you all know this, but we need to say it.
Amen.
I have world goods. I need to distribute it. Necessities of life. We have that we need to get it out. I'll get it out sooner or later. Amen? Maybe I'm thinking about Italian night right now. I don't know. Give me that spaghetti. Thank you, Jesus. The meatballs. Amen? Look at verse 17. Whoever has the world goods and sees his brother in need. Notice there's a port in there. It's not a hasty look, but a permanently looking onto. It isn't like, oh, no, it's looking into that area. If you see your brother's needs, we need to pay attention when we go out. We need to pay attention to the needs. If somebody doesn't have a pair of shoes, I'll make a mental note of that. If somebody needs this, I'll make a mental note of that. And I love it when it's in the fellowship, when people get blessed and they know who didn't know who gave it to them. Well, who do I thank? Just thank the Lord. I mean, those God will locate those who blessed him anyways. But you're seeing, that means you're beholding the brother's need with an unmoved eye. How many of us, that's what Jesus did when he saw those that had a need? And I'm not moving from that. Lord, we can meet that need. Well, let me have that eye just like that. Not a hasty look, but locked in. Amen? Bible says this, if you shut up your heart from him, where does the love of God? The heart needs to be open. We need to have compassion and sympathy. That's the way we need to operate. If we do, I believe that God can do it. When he saw the 5,000, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, he was moved with compassion. He saw them, make them sit down in companies of 50s and 100s. God will always speak organization in the midst of chaos too. When the church gets overrun with people and there's no more seats, he'll put, say, you need to have some chairs down the hallway. How many of us, we need to be prepared, amen? If we all got to stand, I'll stand. I'll stand next to the wall. That's not going to hurt my feelings. How many of us, if we have the heart, you can sit here. I witnessed that on Good Friday. A family came in. There was no seats. People just shoveled around. You can take the whole row. That warms my heart as a pastor. I do notice those things too. I may not say it, but I do notice it. We can't shut up our hearts from people who have needs. Amen? Verse 18, my little children, let us love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He describes a false love. It's like this. I'm giving you a word and it's rolling off my tongue, but it's not coming from my heart. Let it not be just by tongue and word, but truly indeed from your heart. There's action involved, an outwardness. Amen? We can't have just no real activity. A word from our tongue, that's nice. It sounds good. But you know what? We need to have it flow from here. Not having a hollow nothingness to it. The world picks up on it big time. And you know what? They go away empty and lost. And they say, where is your God? Now, I know this for a fact. Some needs, you know what? Some people won't be satisfied even if you try to help. But that isn't my thing. Lord, you touch. But we're not going to be a hypocritical show either. You enjoying tonight? Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth. We're assured in our hearts, obedience to God's command, particularly to brotherly love. Truth is eternal. It originates in God. But the real substance of the believer is what comes forth from our hearts and lives. It tells that we know that truth. We can talk about things, but now you're going to demonstrate. God so loved that he what? And that was a pretty hard deal to go through. Truth comes out of that area. So now truth is coming out of that new nature. That nature of love that we have. We've all lied before Christ. And maybe we lied a little bit after we know Christ. But hopefully you're just not a liar. Yeah. Amen. Amen. How many ever stumbled and caught yourself? Oh, I'm not. No, that's not the truth. Yeah. I know sometimes we got to reverse that cycle. It's just there. It's sometimes it's been out of habit. It's not that you were just a perpetual liar. But you kind of flowed a little more than you needed to. Yeah. Amen. I know in my family, they used to flow on stories and lie. I listened to it. That's so full of whatever. Amen? I won't say the word, but I used to go, no way, that is not true. And you should see the debates that happened in my family, especially when they were all pounding them down. I'd look at them and go, you actually believe that? And then they'd argue about it. And then my one uncle would just sit back and he would just laugh. His whole role was to stir the pot. And I used to go, oh, I'm out of here. This is making this ridiculous. Say amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, through me. That is a true fact. So anyone who tries to make this nature change without coming through Christ is a liar. And the truth's not in them. Our hearts will bear witness to those things. Our inner seed of our emotions, our conscience will bear witness that this is the truth. You'll know the truth and it sets you free. The more you get that truth in you, the more it's working in your nature, the more it starts to flow out of you. It bears witness to what's internal. And if you want to grow rapidly in the kingdom, love one another. Love covers a multitude of what?
Sin.
We're going to need a whole lot of love and mature love for this next move of God.
Right.
People are going to come in raw.
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
If we need to put a butt hut outside, we'll put a butt hut outside. But I'm glad they're coming to church.
Okay.
Amen. If they're pounding them down before they come in, they'll sober up when they get in there.
Amen.
Then we'll pick up the cans and we'll turn the 10 cents in.
Put it in the change jar.
Put it in the change jar, amen? I'm mature enough to handle that.
Yeah.
But pastor, what if you went to the bottle machine and you started putting some of those cans in there and they say Miller on there?
Nice.
Somebody may say, pastor, you're putting them down there. How many know some of you will say something no matter what?
Right.
Say amen.
Amen.
I like what Ron said. If you know somebody by character, you just look at that and go, pfft. Keep moving on.
Right.
Each one of us in our hearts need to quiet ourselves in him. I have that nature. You know what? When you love, you can slow down. When you love, you can be at peace. But when you're angry, you're all fired up. And anything can set you off. But man, when there's a love environment, how many of us say, this is so good. You can have so, I can jump into the river. That was my Allie impression right there, all right? How many of you can have that? How many of us, it's greater to walk in love. Isn't that a better day? He's showing that my new nature is kicked in and it's working because now I can love, listen to me, greater than I could ever love before. I can look in the mirror and not forget what I look like when I leave. Love won't make you ashamed either. When God called Cain out, he was ashamed. There's no doubt about it. There's shame in that arena. Like all of us in here, without Christ, you know what? We have to hang our head low. But now Jesus said, I'm a lifter of your soul. Amen? Look at verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence towards God. Peace in the soul, undisturbed confidence towards God. Children are free to have confidence, even in times of judgment. If Christ came back right now, you're free from the judgment. Isn't that cool? He'll pass over that. The Passover lamb has come to your door. The blood's been applied. No matter what's happening outside, it's not happening in your house. I love that. In the court of consciousness, I'm clean. You need to fight for that too. When the enemy brings up something in your past and you feel that guilt coming out, no, cleanse that. That was in your old nature. Because the enemy will play with you in that arena. He'll try to get you in condemnation and try to draw you back into something you've been set free from. That's good preaching. So cleanse your own conscience. No, no. Purposely say, no, I'm not going there. I'm free in the name of Jesus. And fight that till the thought is gone. Because the thought will leave. A clear conscience gives us boldness and access to God.
Right.
So this is good preaching tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, we all need that. Sometimes you just got to forgive yourself. You were a bonehead when you did it the first time. You're not a bonehead anymore. Is that too offensive or is that just straight up? That's modern vernacular. That's Tom Lang abbreviation right there. When we're bold, we can ask. Obedience brings prayers answered.
Yes.
Heard and answered.
Yes.
Come on, how many times have we prayed for something to happen, but God just wants a little bit of obedience, and boom, it'll happen.
Yes.
Follow it out. Follow it out. Lord, I'm going to be obedient. You got my attention? Lord, I want that. If we love God, we'll do what pleases him. Because Christ is manifest in us, God hears those prayers. But he hears those prayers for Christ's sake. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. In my flesh dwells no good thing, but now I have a new nature. I actually have the nature of the Holy Spirit in me. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
It's the Spirit who goes back to God who gave it. I love that. That means whatever I can become because of the Holy Ghost is in me. Kind of quiet today. If faith works by love, then Lord, give me that love. Let me grow in that area. Let me have your word sown in my heart that faith is arising. Then God, I'm going to exercise it by the love I have. Amen? I want you to have that if you pray for people. You want it so bad for them that you're praying that earnestly. Oh God, do it for them. Amen?
Amen.
That means something. Isn't like a little bless me prayer. Bless you, brother. Go on your way. Be warm and filled. No, I want that brother touched in the name of Jesus. God, bring a miracle for him. Spend time. Stand in the gap. Christ did everything according to God's will. And notice that he was passionate about people. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all come to what? He was passionate about people. We need that too. The church needs to get back to being passionate about people. Isn't that what it's about? Man, I don't like it when churches try to hide that they're a church anymore. All you become is an assembly. You know what that means? You're no different than the Moose Lodge or the Elks. You're just another club. What changes us is the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's more than just concern or lip service towards others. He gave us a command. Our further qualification is love. I give you a command, love. Grow in that area. People who grow in love, you know what? Have a great, great heart. Look at verse 23. And this is the commandment, that you should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus and love one another. How many of us were doing the first part? We're believing on his name. And that you should love one another. Man, this church will blow up when our love gets mature. Say amen. I mean, it's a refining process. I wish to say it happens overnight. But man, I still got flesh along. Amen? Then Lord, I'm going to die to self, pick up my cross, and follow you. Lord, you may be sanding on this part of me, working this out. Then Lord, work it out. But Lord, never leave me alone. Never leave me alone, Holy Spirit. I want to be like you. That refining fire, you know what? One day you will like what you see, for you will be like him, for you will see him as he is. One day it'll be like, cool. No more sin, no more shame, no more temptation. The former things are done away, all things become new. And a glorified body to boot. Isn't that cool? No more sickness, no more pain. How many knows that's a great thing? We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I love that about Christ, that we're going to end up being something really neat. Then Lord, help me now. Everything you have is veiled in flesh. It's like that Holy Spirit in there. It's like that glory that's in there is covered with burlap. But I know this for a fact. Every demon in hell can recognize that, that Christ is in you. Sometimes we have to walk humbly before people. You know what? If you walk humble, the fall is not very far.
Yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
And if you stumble, you know what? You're only a knee from getting back up.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But when we're all that, we think we're all that. Woe is our fall.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I want us to humble ourselves before his mighty hand, and then he will lift us up.
Yes,
church, can we be that? This whole chapter is dealing with love one another. Amen?
Amen?
He dealt with dealing with Cain, that brother-killing spirit. Lord, I don't want that in me at all. Amen? Amen. Did you enjoy tonight?
Yes.
God, you're good, Lord Jesus. And make this your prayer tonight in your heart. Father, change us, Lord.